they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
We are jellyfish, aren't we? We evangelicals, we really, really are jellyfish. And I jump on the internet and first thing I get up in the morning, I want to try to figure out which evangelifish flopped out of the boat today. Which one's leaving Christianity today? See, if Christianity is nothing more than just a lifestyle, just a life enhancement, you can change that like you change your socks. Great falling away coming. And I thank God for all the revealing. You know, I was reminded of Hillsong. I don't keep up with these groups. This Hillsong's become a church, I believe, as well, a church movement. I don't keep up. I don't trust any of those skinny jean guys standing in the pulpit playing music and singing songs. Now we glorify people who are, we make stars out of people who can sing. Sing. You know, Elvis Presley used to sing, what they call them? Spirituals, hymns. Elvis Presley had a great, great Christian upbringing, a deep, deep biblical upbringing. And he fell away from it. But boy, he could still sure sing about Jesus. He could do it. Lord, help me, Jesus. Chris Christopherson, Lord, help me, Jesus. Although I heard through the grapevine, I know through a video that Chris Christopherson really didn't have a come to Christ experience. And I don't know how he walked it out. But see, it's the life enhancement gospel that we're spreading. Jesus warned us. But that was, maybe it was Paul, one of those who would come with a different gospel. There are all kinds of gospels out there, aren't there? And I think the great falling away that we're going to see and are seeing in the world is those who never really had the real gospel at all. Once saved, always saved. I said, yeah, I believe in once saved, always saved, but you got to really be saved. You know, really be saved. You really get saved, it changes everything about you. It's going to change your friends. It's going to change what you do. What you watch, how you talk, where you go, where you don't go. It's going to change everything about you if you get really, really born again. And I don't doubt that some people get really, really born again. Then maybe some disaster comes into their life and they fall away from it out of distress and despair. I think that kind of stuff's possible. But if we make Christianity just a life enhancement, and if you've received Jesus and you're still acting the way you used to act, I don't know if you've received Jesus or not. Not the real one, anyway. Bible says you're going to be transformed, completely renewed. Your mind's going to be renewed. You're going to be transformed. Everything about you. I know this. This is one of the things that makes me proudest of the show. I know a lot of you watching this show are being deeply transformed every day. And you're being deeply transformed not by moi, but by getting into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Rightfully dividing the word of God, and the Holy Spirit's guiding you and leading you into all truth. I wrote a commentary today. I don't know if I'll get a chance to get to it. By the way, Victor sent me a whole bag. I'm going to do this in honor of Victor this morning, of these throat lozenges. He's worried about my voice. I wrote a commentary today. Thanks, Vic. Entitled, No Deposit, No Return. Maybe I'll get to it in a minute. You're only going, boys and girls, you're only going to get out of your faith what you put into it. It's true of any endeavor in life. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. We live in an easy believism time. We live in a what I call the McDonald's generation. Pull in, order it. If it takes them more than a minute and a half to get you your food, you're mad. You pull off. We want it right now. And I woke up this morning with an ominous feeling. I was up very early this morning, almost about 3:45. I woke and tried to go back to sleep and couldn't go back to sleep. An ominous, that's another big word I learned back when I was doing vocabulary in the eighth grade. Ominous means not good, bad. I have an ominous feeling this morning that some crazy stuff going on all around us. I don't know what it is. Couldn't shake it. I don't know whether it's personal, my own life. I don't know whether it's national. I don't know if it's spiritual. I'm an ominous feeling this morning. And I was reminded as I was coming down the steps, wearing Bob and Tammy's, I love wearing this garb everywhere I go. People look at me, they don't know what to say. They're churchgoers, see, but then a Christian billboard, are you kidding me? Christian billboard, that's what it is. And the Bible says that there's things coming upon the earth, Luke 21, I think it is, where men's hearts are going to fail them for fear. What the heck would that be? And are we really, really prepared for it? For those things that are coming upon the earth? And I was thinking, I don't know about you guys, I did a lot of pondering, a lot of mic drop yesterday after listening to Ron on the show. Boy, there's so much we don't know, so much we're not taught. The average church is so shallow, so in the box and everything that they discuss. And Christianity, for the most part, has become all about me and all about you and me, my eye. I got eye trouble. We all got eye trouble. And we don't understand that in order to be a Christian. See, we make easy believism Christianity, and it isn't. You jump into your Bible if you ever get a chance to, and you're going to find out that he's going to say, broad is the way and narrow is the gate. Many come, few find it. Jesus said himself that depart from me, you who work in the next seat. Thank you, Lord. I heard that. They came to Jesus and they said, boy, where is that? It's in Luke. Is that in Luke? Lord, in your name, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we lay hands on the sick, see them recover? Didn't we do all these great things in your name? Jesus says, get out of here, man. I don't even know who the heck you're. Who are you, dude? Get out of here. Know you. Now, it struck me yesterday as I was reading and contemplating on that very scripture. Of all the things we did in his name. Isaac Newton tapped me on the head. His coach, I think it was Isaac. You know, there's an equal and opposite reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if they did all these things for the Lord, what are some of the things they didn't do? Because obviously doing things for the Lord alone wasn't enough. Lord, we did this, and didn't we do this, and we didn't. And he didn't take the time, but I bet if he just sat him down, he would say, yeah, but look what you didn't do. You didn't do this, and 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 you didn't do this. That's easy believism. That's social gospel, right?
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
You know, another way to look at that is all those people that says, didn't we do all these in your name? They did it in the aspect of the label of Jesus. They didn't do it in his authority, by his authority.
Larry, that was a mic drop yesterday with Ron Bueller, wasn't it? The whole idea of the name and authority. I pondered it all day long. Folks, if you had been in here for our after show, where we stayed in there and talked for, I don't know, it was almost an hour before I had to run. It was just going on and on and on about the idea of fatherhood and authority and who do you serve and who's your daddy. And realize everywhere we turn, we are programmed to obey somebody other than God. Everywhere we turn. Our churches obey. They don't obey God. Folks, our churches don't obey God. If our churches obey God, they wouldn't be in partnership with the government and the 501c3 if they obey God. How do you bring the church and the government in relationship? How do you make those two equal? And you know that that's what the 501c3 does, right? And so because people have got this misunderstanding of the author and the finisher of their faith, who it really is, we find ourselves putting Christ, this is critical, man, putting Christ's name, his authority, it's subservient. His name becomes subservient to the government, to the school board, to whatever. And so we have the church, who is his body, his representation of Christ on the earth, Jesus Christ's body is the church. And the church bows its knee to government. We have the church sitting around. We have government today in Ohio trying to pass a law to protect pastors from speaking the truth. Now, boys and girls, is that upside down or what? We have to go to the government to have the right to speak the authoritative name and word of Almighty God. It's upside down. They said there's no, you can't pray in school. Really? Who says that? The Lord says I can. The Lord says to pray without ceasing. Yeah, but coach, you can't. School board says you can't. Oh, really? Okay. Well, Lord, sorry, can't come in here. Can't come in here. We do in every aspect of our lives. And if, I don't know for about you, it was a real eye-opener for me yesterday. And we'll have Ron back on for sure. I'm pondering something here. I'm thinking deep. I get to be on Hagman today. Tonight. I'll be on the Hagman show tonight. Communicated with Doug yesterday. What a great man he is, boy. I think of all the loss that he's been through. And he's still struggling and fighting and kicking butt. I got a couple things that I want to show you real quick. Anybody got anything for the good of the group? I had a little 12-minute monologue that came out of nowhere again. Look at that. Lord, I just saw it. That is unbelievable. 12-minute monologue, day 12 on my fast. I think this is the last day. I think the Lord's going to take me off my fast today. 12 days, no food. You can do it, folks. You can do it. Yeah, Rob, go ahead.
Oh, every time you talk about that Pastor Protection Act, it just gets me mad. It just is the most ludicrous concept in the state of Ohio, and it's other places too. We need pastors to start getting arrested.
Amen. I'm gonna
we need congregations starting to appear at the jail to saying, "Let my pastor out." And here we are having a pastor protect. Every time you mention that, oh my goodness, it gets me worked up. So it's just unbelievable.
Jesus is pastor protection, isn't he? Psalm 91, he was welcome.
Well, you think of the disciples instantly. That's what they had, a pastor protection act.
Yep.
Well, it's more than that, to my opinion. It's protection of the thieves.
Right.
Well, exactly. There's no justice, and so the thieves are going to continue to get protection, and they're going to ensure that they're protected before they even start shaking the finger at anybody.
Right, that's right. And so, you know, again, all authority is with us, boys and girls. It's not with the government. It's not with the federal government. All authority is with us. That's why you guys continue to not get it. I'm not talking about you guys. It sounds like a campaign with a broad brush. Randy Lunsford did something when he laid his hands on the threshold at Hillary's gate. That was a move of authority. See, we don't get it. We don't get it. And we need to be more obedient. Jared pulled this up from Mario Murillo. I read this a couple days ago, and I thought, my goodness. And then sometimes I bring stuff to you right away. Sometimes I have to ponder, chew on a little bit, because there's nothing worse than self-importance. Self-importance. They call that ego and pride. And I don't care who you are, you fight that. I fight it all the time. Sometimes we see people in positions of authority. I'm going to tell you, a lot of the decisions that I make aren't easy. The burden of leadership is heavy, boys and girls. It is easy. And sometimes when a decision has to be made and you have to be the one that makes it, that's a lonely place to be. And it's easy for us to look out at some of our leaders and criticize the decisions we've made when we've never walked in their shoes. We don't understand the pressure they're under and the influences around them. You guys don't even know the pressures and influence I'm under. You don't know that. The decisions I make, things I say, and people I tick off. And so we have to toughen up. That's the genesis. So I came across this from Mario Murillo. Jared's going to have it up on the screen. I had a 10-minute phone call with Randy Lunsford yesterday. And it wasn't about the skid steer. It wasn't about anything that. It was about spiritual issues. And Randy, I want you to know you encouraged my heart. And you were right on. And I'm trying to double back here. I have an ominous feeling. Okay, I have an ominous feeling. I don't know what that means. But I came across this from Mario Murillo. And I don't I don't want this to, for any of us, puff any of us up. But I think it's important that you guys hear this. This is August 10th. So what is today? Yeah, it's been 5 days. I've been pondering a while whether, you know, this is some of you out there, okay? Mario Murillo wrote a commentary. He says a new kind of Christian leader is about to appear. Hang on. Thank you, Lord. Remember I told you this, Murillo says, a new kind of Christian leader will soon appear. They will not fit any present mold. They will be catalysts. They will usher in the next great awakening. I want to tell you this. There's a great awakening coming. There's a revival on the horizon beyond what we can ever imagine. And all this stuff that we see going on with Pedogate and Epstein and spirit cooking, this stuff is all going to be revealed, and it's going to cause such a, whatever's coming is ominous. In the next few years, you will see social media virtually ban all preaching. Not only that, but there will be a concerted effort to marginalize the church in ways you never imagined. Does that mean that Bible-based Christianity is over in America? Absolutely not. You watch. God will come out of nowhere to meet this threat. A few of these new leaders will be in pulpits, but more of them will be in politics, business, science, law, entertainment, music, or a thousand other fields of endeavor. They will not introduce subjects. They will introduce errors. No one will be able to buy them or get them to change the subject. It's some of you in the queue here. He's talking to some of you in the queue here. They will operate on a disquieting plane of holiness and consecration. I believe A.W. Tozer was describing them when he said that they serve God and mankind for motives too high to be understood by the rank and file of religious retainers who today shuttle in and out of the sanctuary. Today, these new leaders suffer. Their agony is part of, remember we talked about Ezekiel, the mark of Ezekiel, the sigh and cry over the condition? But today, they suffer. Their agony is what happens when worlds collide. They see their destiny. It's big and it's dangerous. But part of them glories in the potential to know God intimately and represent him bravely. They see themselves rebuking kings, tyrants, and warmongers. They see themselves commanding the transfer of wealth of the wicked in the control of the righteous. Folks, God is warring to save America. You must find your assignment in that war. But how can we know our assignment? That's the question that we ask about every day here. What am I supposed to do, Lord, huh? Well, the secret to finding your assignment is in your heart. God speaks to the heart, and then the heart must control the mind. Today, many spirit-filled believers are unwittingly involved in New Age practices. They relate to God as if he were some kind of force rather than a person. Your assignment in the army of God is your individual expression, an extension of Christ's destruction of the works of the devil. You are a destroyer of the works of the devil. God will give you a way to do it that is unique to you. They think that audacity and confidence will unlock gifts, these people who think Jesus is a force. They speak of activating gifts as if there was a formula to supernatural manifestations. My friend, it comes through brokenness, not arrogance. Force is a farce. The gifts and anointing of the Holy Spirit always come through relationships. Sorry. But Christianity has always been and always will be family owned and operated. So then how can we know our assignment? I just read what your assignment is. Until that gets through to you, until you admit and agree to those terms, God will remain silent about your assignment. Until he knows you're all in, he's not going to give you the job. You understand that? Until you're all in. And when you're all in, then he'll begin to make provision for it. Because the situation today in America is an impossible one, only one kind of person will make a difference now. They must be armed with divine certainty. They must hear and know the voice of God. They must own an unshakable, bone-deep conviction that they have been chosen for this task. Whew. I go back to when Randy laid his hands on that threshold. Said, Coach, God sent me here just to do it. Just to do this one thing, Coach. Without this, we have zero hope of removing the bloody talons of Satan from the throat of our nation. Without it, we are doomed to another embarrassing misfire pawned off as some kind of Brownsville revival or Toronto blessing or Toronto outpouring. Next, you must face the fact that very few believers, I'm going to read that again. You must face the fact that very few believers are supposed to be teachers. We got preachers everywhere and very few of them are supposed to be. For too long, we've listened to the voice of God through a filter. In the past, whenever God has moved someone to serve him, we have assumed it meant ministry. This assumption of ministry has sent many Christians to Bible college who didn't belong there. Worse yet, it has filled pulpits with people who should have never been ordained. This reminds me of why President Woodrow Wilson once said, one of the proofs of the divinity of the gospel is the preaching it has survived. In other words, lousy preaching and the gospel still goes forward. This filtered view of service is one big reason the church has lost its influence in our nation. God tried to send people into education. He tried to send them into law and into medicine and into business and into art and into media and, yes, even politics. But instead, we herded them into Christian service. I'm going to go be a missionary in Haiti. I'm going to go visit Mexico and be a missionary. I'm going to go to China and be a missionary. You see it in the Bible. You see it in the stories of the heroes of faith throughout history who altered the course of their generation. And you don't do that in Haiti. At the dawn of their missions, God infused them with incontestable certainty. I feel that. Anybody feel that incontestable certainty in your heart? I do. This certainly plays a critical role in their survival. Think of it like the escape velocity of a rocket. Escape velocity is one of the biggest challenges of space travel. In order for a rocket to break free of Earth's gravitational force, it must reach a speed of 7 miles per second. Think about that. 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 40. Wow. That's 25,000 miles per hour. Evil convulses at the approach of a new vessel of God. I'm going to say that again. Evil convulses at the approach of a new vessel of God. Hell instantly puts chosen ones on a hit list. The child of God must be blasted by divine certainty into a trajectory that will escape the pull of the devils, the seductor, the pull of fame, of withering criticism, and the dark night of the soul that comes to all who are called of God. This is deep. Are you called of God? You having dark nights, sleepless nights, fearful nights? From his deathbed, John Wesley wrote his last letter to William Wilberforce to encourage him as he fought in Parliament to abolish slavery in England. In his letter, Wesley confirms the urgency of the divine certainty, and he said, "Unless God has raised you up for this very thing, you will be worn out by the opposition of men and of devils. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Are all of them together stronger than God, the devil's men? Oh, be not weary of well-doing." Go on. In the name of God and in the power of his might. I got an ominous feeling today. Understand this, child of God. The same spirit that is awakening a passion and direction in you is doing the same things to millions. Soon an army will emerge that will invade every area of our culture. Today it is sporadic fire. It's here and it's there. But soon the prophetic core of God will obey and embrace their assignment. They will come together in a chorus of victory that will be unlike anything we have ever seen. Never forget, Christianity will survive without America, but America will not survive without Christianity. Amen. Amen. Whew. Boys, that's thick right there. That is some thick stuff. I'm going to open the window. Somebody come on in. My dog's barking upstairs. He's giving an amen. That's a mic drop. Come on in. Bail me out here.
Well, Dave, I wanted to say something
go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't think anyone's assignment. And we flushed. Okay. I don't think anyone's assignment from God is to be on a couch potato or be in the stands and be watching.
Can be.
I think, look, we're not all going to be a quarterback or a lineman or whatever you're going to be. Just we need to realize, I think, deep prayer and find out what your path is, where you're supposed to be.
Amen. You know, I think that you say deep prayer. I think that's important. You know what I think is more important, folks? This has been the key to my life, okay? The key to my life. And hey, you walk out your own salvation with fear and trembling, okay? I have found the direction to my life simply through obedience.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a second. My whole life, he spoke and I obeyed. People laughed at me. My wife thought I was crazy. My family thought I was crazy. I heard his voice and I did it. And when I got done with it, I didn't measure whether it was successful or not. I measured whether or not I'd been obedient to what he said. So my growth has not come through, Chad, I'm not making fun of you, deep prayer. My growth has come through just simple obedience. He said it, I did it. Go ahead. Is that Dale? Somebody come in? Somebody was coming in. I don't know.
I was coming in before. So, Coach, it's amazing how everyone wants to convince us that Christianity is not real, that God is not real. But I think they protest too much, obviously, you know?
Well, they think it's not real because those of us who believe in it don't think it's real. We think it's some type of force. We don't think he's a real person. The Holy Spirit's real and inside of us and greater than, oh, my goodness. Come on over.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, you know, God's assignments for his obedient children, and boy, that word obedience is so, so, so important. But I believe that there can be multitude of assignments, different assignments that aren't all exactly the same. They may not even be closely related in our eyes a lot of times. But They will be complementary with everybody else's assignment. They will not be contradictive to others. If you have two people claiming they're following Christ's directions in their lives and they are in direct conflict with each other, one of them's lying.
Yeah, Lord, the Holy Spirit ain't contradictory, right? He's not schizophrenic. Holy Spirit isn't schizophrenic, right? And it's the whole idea, again, of one body, many members. We all have an assignment that we're supposed to do. But I can promise you this. Listen, I don't want to beat up on anybody. Don't take this wrong. I'll tell you something. Foreign missions are important, but they're one of the last things you ought to be doing. If you are not doing local missions, you got no business in Haiti. If you won't go down to the street corner and stand and hand out tracts and help people where you live, you got no business being in Haiti. Your impact, all of our impact, is local. Local. Go walk into the church and they're going to show you on the, most of them will have some type of bulletin board up there and show you all the places where they send in missionaries. And ain't nobody sending them to the school board. Ain't nobody sending missionaries to the city council. Ain't nobody sending missionaries to the public schools. Ain't nobody sending missionaries anywhere else because it's easy to go to Haiti and do it. Now, wait a minute. It's not easy because it's a sacrifice. But I'm going to tell you something. It's a heck of a lot easier to be in Haiti handing out food than it is to be down in the school board standing up for Jesus. That's harder to do.
Amen.
Hey, Coach. I think if you're following Christ, if you're trying to do his will and you're listening to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will show you what your job is to be, what you're to do. And I think you hit the tail on the head, and it's about obedience. You know, I just watched Janet Porter. God bless her. She is now up in Michigan trying to get the abortion bill passed up there. And I listened to the stories that she told about the giants that she slayed in the effort to get that bill through. Five times it took to get that bill passed through Ohio.
The heartbeat bill. Right?
And so she's given nothing.
She received nothing but criticism from those who should have been on her side.
Right.
Exactly what we just said, right?
Yeah, exactly. You're doing the same thing.
I am.
And so it's an example to the rest of us, okay? Find out what our ministry is and go do it.
Hey, Glenn, let me tell you something. You know why I love Mark Trump so much? Because Mark Trump says, I said, man, the Lord gave me this vision to do it. And Mark Trump said, hey, Coach, I think the Lord gave you that vision. I'm going to come and help you. See, that's the way it's supposed to. The naysayers and the criticism, that's a dime a dozen, man. It's everywhere you look. Everybody's got a better way to do it, and they ain't doing nothing. It's everywhere you look. Everywhere you look.
Hey, Coach.
Hang on, Vic. I pulled in the driveway last night. Was it lab? Whatever. And I said to my wife, I think it was last night, the headache. I'm not complaining, okay? The headache that Sky High has become for me. And I said, you know what? When that hourglass runs out and they lay me in my grave, my grandkids and my children are going to be glad I did it. It isn't about me. Go ahead, Vic.
You know, it becomes personal. A lot of people don't want it to become personal. Right. How hard is it to go out in your neighborhood where people know where you live and you start to spread the word of God and with your neighbors? With your neighbor's children, and you know, you become a beacon of light to them so that you can get them encouraged to do the God-like things. But no. You won't do it in your neighborhood. You'll go to Haiti where nobody knows where you live.
Right.
You see, nobody wants to have people know. See,
well, because you're anonymous there. See, you're
right. Well, you
there.
You don't want to be anonymous. You want to have people know exactly where you live. And you need to give out your public, your information out to the public because you're professing for God. You're not ashamed of God. That's the whole point.
Here's what it is. You know what the Holy Spirit just said to me? Holy Spirit just said, Coach, you're effective because you don't go to Haiti. You go where they hate me. Not Haiti, hate me. They hate me. They hate Amen. The Lord. That's where I'm going. That's Amen. Where I'm going.
Amen.
Go to Haiti.
Boys.
Hate me.
If the West falls, believe me, no one's going to be going to the mission field because one of the key reasons they let us in is because they get our money.
Amen.
Falls, Amen. There won't be letting us in. And the second thing I would say about the mission field is what a waste of time. If we have a mess in the United States, what arrogance we think that the American church has a place overseas telling them what to do. The only reason the Methodists did not ordain homosexual pastors is because the African Methodist Church voted against it.
That's right. I forgot about that, Roger.
Hey, Coach, you don't have to go far to go where they hate Jesus. All you got to do is step out your door.
That's what I'm saying, man. Huh? I'm going to go to hate me. That's where I'm heading today. I'm going to go to hate me. You might want to come with me because that's what it is. And can I tell you something? Some of the greatest hates coming from those who ought to be egging me on. They ought to be supporting us and doing whatever they can, right? Huh? They don't. Jared, go to Acts 1. Is it you or Connor today? Go to Acts 1. Huh? That's right, man. Mario Murillo's right, baby. We're in a war, and if you think it's going to be easy, you kidding me? You kidding me? I was thinking about the NFL yesterday, for those of you who don't know, the No Fun League. Give me an idea how hard those guys work. Do you have any idea how hard it is to be successful in the NFL? Any idea? Well, you got guys who are 6'5", 290 pounds, in tip-top shape, trying to knock you on your arse. Do you have any idea how hard it would be to compete at that level? Do you think they just roll out of bed and do it? Do you think anybody who accomplishes anything great just rolls out of bed and it happens? Come on, man. It takes a lot of work. I've been doing this, whatever this thing is. I started this in 2000. What year is this? 19 years, man. Michelle and I got some blood, sweat, and tears on our way to where we are. I don't even know where we are, but I know it ain't nothing compared to where we're going. I don't know what it's going to look like when we get there. But we're going someplace. I'm going to show you something right out of the scriptures. I know Jared's got it up there for you.
Hey, Coach.
So y'all, I hear you already getting mad because I'm speaking against missionaries. No, I'm not. If you're called to be a missionary to Haiti, go to Haiti. But first, make sure you go to downtown Newark. Make sure you do it in your town first. Because can I show you that premise right here? Okay, hang on. Let's go. This is Acts chapter 1. Funny we would start right there, isn't it? Jared, scroll down to about verse. Scroll down a little bit. Let me see. Yep, okay, there you go. Start right there. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the season. Why are you worried about that stuff? Which the Father hath put in his own power. But he said this, you shall receive power after the Holy. Did you get it here? He said, quit worrying about that stuff. Holy Spirit's coming and you're going to get power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Hebron, then Ohio, and then the United States, and then outside the United States. But notice he says you start in your hometown first. And if you ain't doing it in your hometown, you ain't got no business going to Haiti. Right out of the script. One more fundraising letter to pay for somebody to go to the hey, Michelle, let's go on a mission trip to the Bahamas. I feel like we need to, some people down there need Jesus. Am I making anybody? I hope I am. I hope I'm making somebody mad. Jerusalem first, then Judea, then Samaria, and then the uttermost. It's a progression, boys and girls. Most of us are afraid of Jesus. We're afraid. We're afraid of the name of Jesus. We're afraid to mention the name of Jesus. We're afraid to talk about Jesus in our circle. Because why? We are afraid of what other people want to do. So we want to serve Jesus so bad we go to Guatemala. I think I'm going to Guatemala.
Anybody like to talk about Jesus? What are you talking about? Sunday's my best day for talking about Jesus, man.
There you go, man. There you go.
All day on Sunday.
All right. Somebody rein me in here today.
Dave, another thing I was, you know, just kind of pondering here. See, again, our idea of service is we paint God in a box, and our service is going to these foreign places and things like that. And we just don't see, like the last church I was in, their mission field was Scotland. I was like, are they having a problem with Christianity over there? Is it any worse than America? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, go to Iraq or Syria or something like that. I mean, that's where.
How about Detroit, Chad? How about Detroit? I mean, go to Detroit. Well,
I mean, I can't even justify anywhere in Europe, you know, for that matter. My point is that, see, in our minds, we have our own idea of what we believe God wants us to do. And if we don't go outside that box, oh, God didn't call me to do that.
Yeah, didn't call me
well,
to
how
do
it. You know? How do you know? And you what know? I mean by deep prayer, too, is pray, and then we got to listen and be receiving. And it says, okay, well, I want you to go and do this, or this Holy Spirit has put it on you to do this. And then he said, well, no, that's not what he wanted. That's not what he was saying. Yeah, he was saying this because that's what I want to do. You see, that's not what I want to do.
But, Chad, even worse than that, Psalm 1, the blessed man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the Lord tells us to do something, we go get somebody else's advice. Should I go? Nah, you shouldn't do that. Nah, that's crazy, Coach. I'd be laughing at you. You don't do that. Say, hey, look, Lord, you want me to go to Hillary's? Okay, I'll go. Oh, we did it. I did it. My conscience is clear.
Hey, Coach.
Go on. I live longer than Epstein.
Hey, Coach.
I just wanted to say you make it look easy. That's what it is.
Why is it? I was watching Tree Limb Jim cutting those trees. He makes it look easy. Why? Because he's practicing.
Because you do it, Coach.
Good at it. Practice. I watch Randy when he ran as a skid steer. It's amazing to watch. Why? Because he does it. He practices it. Right? Do you practice your faith? Are you good at your faith? Well, what does that mean, Coach, being good at my faith? Well, I pray before dinner, and I read a daily devotional in the morning.
Coach.
Yeah.
The thing that you got going right here is you want to look at Craig. Craig goes out where he goes down there every Friday, and he's doing it one soul at a time. And that's the only thing. You can't save millions. You got to start with that first person. And usually that first person is going to fight you. And you just got to keep doing it over and over and over. One person at a time.
One person at a time. Quit counting. Quit
too,
putting on the gun.
I think, too, we think we're saving people. We ain't saving anybody. Throw some seeds out there and keep moving.
Amen, baby.
Keep moving.
Amen.
You don't have to convince them. You just have to tell them. Hallelujah.
Hey,
okay, so listen to this one. I sent out a little notice or tried to. Maybe we haven't sent it out yet. Today, listen. How about having a huddle in your town? How about organizing a group of people around you in your town, and thinking, man, I'd like to go some places and get our fall schedule filled, which it's beginning to fill. And so let's go. Let's build some huddles. And so, who do I hear from this morning? Bobby Lee! Bobby Lee, who's already holding huddles. He said, I'll hold another one, Coach. I said, you mean of all these people? Bobby, you're going to do another one? And none of these other people will do one?
Hey, Coach.
I love all of you. I love all of you. But it just, we just got to, it's like sometimes you're not tuned in. We're not tuned. Yeah, come on in. Love you all. I swear I do. I love you all.
It's been an amazing, heavy subject this morning. Do I have your permission to change it for a moment?
Sure.
Okay. You know, I just noticed that the autopsy has determined that there were multiple more than one broken bones in Jeffrey Epstein's neck.
Oh.
And yet I have, there's over 8 million articles on the internet about those broken bones already. That quickly, it had, you know, 8 million articles happen. But right. I've read as many as I could before the show started and stuff this morning. And every one of those articles concentrates on one bone, the hyoid bone. And every one of those articles points out that suicides, the hyoid bone can be broken. Not normal, but it can be. Every one of them points that out.
Wow.
None of them, after the fact that multiple bones were broken, none of them even mentioned the other bones in the neck were broken. Now, if any of you have ever had a hairline fracture anywhere in your body, you know it is very painful. I've had a hairline fracture in my neck after a car wreck. I can tell you it is very painful. Epstein would not have, you know, the man was murdered. That's what the logic points to in my mind.
Well, Larry, even worse, this to me, thanks, Larry, because you doubled me back around to something, you know. What's the joke? The Clintons did it. They did it again. What? These people are killing people. It's such common knowledge that they're killing people and nobody's demanding justice. Nobody. It just baffles me. If we know the Clintons probably did it, does Bill Barr know they probably did it? Do every one of our congressmen know? Probably know. They probably have a lot more intimate knowledge of it than we do, right? But we let it go on like we're in some type of freaking banana republic. Oh, yeah, the Clintons, you know. I'm so sick of the Clintons.
Coach, the proof is in the pudding, or it's going to be in the pudding. So Liz Crokin has a theory that the White Hats let this happen so that they could film it. We'll see. The only thing is, it's we'll see, because, you know, everybody has. Yeah, they said that he was yelling. Yeah. People heard him yelling right before he died. Well, of course, it's painful. You know, they're killing him.
As an investigator would tell you, the first most plausible solution is probably the one that's true. Right? He didn't hang himself. We know he didn't hang himself. But let's not get pulled down that rabbit trail, because it's, you know, it is what it is, man. It is. Jared, let's do this real quickly. I got to, on a lighter note, although it's really not lighter. Jared, go to that email that I sent you, a second email I sent you today that says, hey, Mark Trump's having surgery today, carpal tunnel surgery. So let's be praying for Mark today. That I can't imagine him on a computer, can you? But he was on the computer. Jared, bring up the one that says what your kids will learn in school. And I like to give credit to whoever, but I don't know who this originated with. I found this on the on my Facebook page today, and I read it, and I thought, yeah. I'm in a kick everybody in the teeth mood today, so maybe I'll go ahead and kick everybody in the teeth today. How can you keep your kids in school? How can you do that? How can pastors be for public schools? So here it is. This is an email I got today. Things your children have a good chance of learning this year if they're in the government schools. They're going to learn that God didn't create the world. They're going to learn his story is not history, or history is not his story. They'll learn that fornication is to be encouraged as long as you do it safely. They'll learn abortion is a good way to fornicate without having to take care of the children produced. They'll learn that drugs are bad and drugs are good. They'll learn disrespect. They'll learn promiscuity. They'll learn reverse porn, the desire to be lusted after. The females learn that. That's why daddy's got to be looking at their daughter every day when she walks out the door. Say, honey, you ain't leaving here looking like that. They'll learn that humans are not made in God's image. And they'll learn that we evolved from apes and are equal in value to animals. They'll learn how to feel uncomfortable socializing outside of one's age group. They'll learn immaturity from being with all other kids all day. They'll learn the idolatry of sports. They'll learn how to be an easy target for sex abuse when they go away from home. They'll learn education idolatry of how smart you have to be, how good you are if you're smart. They'll learn gay, lesbian lifestyle modeling. They'll learn feminism. They'll learn potential confusion regarding personal gender identity. They'll learn transgender body mutilation acceptance. They'll learn gluttonous levels of sugar intake via school culture. They'll learn sexual deviancy different from what is listed above and so grotesque that it cannot be described here. They'll learn that demanding homeowners to give up money, their money to provide for their own children, to pay for other people's children's education, its sports and extracurriculars, is a morally acceptable way of financing government indoctrination sinners. They'll learn that it's acceptable to like and fornicate with both boys and girls. They'll learn that it's okay for boys to dress like girls and for girls to dress like boys. They'll learn that God's law, the standard of morality, is immoral and wrong to discuss or display on school grounds. And they'll learn the importance of being disobedient to their parents. They'll learn that gossip is a skill towards self-promotion up the peer ladder. They'll learn disrespect of God-given authority. Your kids in the public school are going to learn how to pledge faithful, robot-like allegiance every morning to a country that is anything but under God. They'll learn how to be deceitful. They'll learn to be immoderate, and they'll learn immoderate and illegal use of alcohol is to be admired. They'll learn that the co-authority of school, government, and parents together over children, sometimes with the school practicing the ultimate authority. In loco parentis, right? They'll learn that the formal persecution of Christian teachers who verbally talk about their faith rather than their unbiblical silent teachers. They'll learn the Psalm 1 violating counsel of the wicked. They will learn pop psychology. They will learn that school attendance is still the ultimate good over parental protection of the child at home when there is an ongoing bullying. They'll learn materialism. They'll learn to make an idol out of their cell phone. Well, they'll learn what porn is and how to access it privately. They'll learn how to sext. They'll learn how to take cover during the near guaranteed school shootings next year because mass murderers know that schools are gun-free zones, easy targets due to the ratio of adults to children, and by and large unprepared for physical defense until the good guys with guns arrive. Pretty good, isn't it? That is cognitive dissonance at its finest. The most valuable thing that we all have, we send to somebody else to put their values in them. It's a great, great delusion. Yeah, Vic.
Now we have a problem. Now it's not just the low-hanging fruit, but now it's the cops. Now with that shooting down there in Philly or wherever it was back over there, now they're going after the cops. And so this just proves that offensive, it's closer than what we think. That multiple city attack, it's on the horizon, bro, and it's coming.
That's why I have an ominous feeling. Hey, let me switch gears here. Try to end on a high note today, man. Am I looking forward to this weekend here in good old Buckeye Lake, Ohio? Again, it's on our events page at CoachDaveLive.com. I don't know. I didn't talk to Mike Blake yesterday. I don't know how many people are coming, but you're coming, and it's going to be great to do some fellowship with you and hang out with you and eat more food than we – I think I'll be off my fast by then. Eat more food than we ought to be able to be eating and just do it. Just have a wonderful, wonderful time. That's begins. You can come anytime afternoon on Friday. Again, if you're coming – bring your own sleeping gear, unless you have, you know, whatever, a hotel, whatever, places to camp, places to sleep. We will take care of you once you get here. We're going to help you with some meals. There's no fee for it, and it's just a time of great, great fellowship. Yeah, we're going to do a little bit of street ministry, but this is going to be good. You know what? You guys are my brothers, and I mean that. I mean that in all sincerity. And I love being around the brothers, and I love being around you guys, and looking you in the eye, and fellowshipping with you, and just having a grand old good time. So, if you can make it, folks, make it. Make it.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
That was kind of ironic, the stuff you got here this morning. I just told Pastor Bill last night I'm going to make my appointment today. I'm calling that superintendent of the Knox County Schools. And the reason why, I've been praying about this, and actually some of it, putting it off for the last couple of months. But we're running that truck you get sold us, and we turned into the ice cream truck.
Yep.
We've had that out 4 times in the last 2 weeks, Pastor Bill and I. I got some numbers written down here, just what we've been doing with it. Roughly, we're driving this into the neighborhoods, into the poor neighborhoods, drug neighborhoods. We got about 150 kids we have reached in 4 nights. 50 to 60 adults on their porches, and 15 to 20 people we have had prayer with, problems in life. So now I'm handing out our little flyers we made up for church in the garage on Tuesday night at 6. There's a lot of these people. I ask them, I said, you probably don't go to church nowhere. And they're like, no, ain't going to church. So we get this opportunity to come and sit in the garage at the car lot, just pull up a chair. And all these people were really receptive last night to it. So I'll tell you a little more about it this weekend. And maybe we can get you to come up some night on a Tuesday. Pastor Bill's doing every other Tuesday. And I'm going to try and do whatever I can on the other Tuesdays. So if you want to hit a Tuesday night with me, that'd be great. I'll bring you in. But these kids, what we noticed, Pastor Bill said, he asked these kids, what can you tell me about Jesus? Out of these 150 kids we've talked to, maybe 4 or 5 can tell you about Jesus. None of them know Jesus.
Nope. No LeBron's hands. Jeff, I salute your evangelistic outreach and stand with you shoulder to shoulder. And I'll play into that thing any way I can, man. Bless you. See, folks, this is simple stuff, isn't it? This is simple stuff, and we've made it so complicated. Why would you go to Haiti when you can go into the low-income area right where you live? Why do you have to go to Haiti? Can I tell you why? Because discipleship is dirty business, man. See, we like to catch the fish, but we don't like to clean them. Cleaning the fish is the ugly part of it. It's the dirty part. If it's a long death, you hook that thing, you pull him out of the ground, you got him. Boy, now you got to clean him. It's a lifelong process. I can go to Haiti and I can hook me some fish and I don't ever have to clean them.
Right. You never have to see those fish again. You never run into those fish again.
Never see them again.
Hey, Coach, how about nobody wants to feed the fish?
Well, Gary had somebody tell me that the truth. When I first got into this, started serving the Lord. They said, Coach, you're going to find out one thing that's going to surprise you. People love souls, but they don't really care much for people. But man, have I found that to be the truth. Let's go get them in here. Let's get them in here. Get them in the pews. And let's go fish, get some more fish. They don't want to clean them. They don't want to train them. They don't want to do whatever. Hey, sorry for a downer message today, but it's just the truth, man. We can do better than we've been doing. It doesn't take a lot. It doesn't take nearly as much initiative as it does courage to step out. Just go do it. Whatever he says unto you, do. And see God do great, mighty stuff through you. Bless you, man. We'll see all of you tomorrow. Good luck, Mark, with your surgery. Praying for you.